I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Ball's got to go right. Look out, they may score on this play. Mannering, Johnson decides to come back in field. Johnson gets dancing. Johnson,
no way. No way!
Johnson has run over to score! This is incredible! This is ridiculous! This is 15 out of 10 on the incredible meter!
What about the last 5 minutes? Thank you to the football gods for letting us watch this.
Hello and welcome to the SC Playbook weekly wrap for round 8 of the NRL. First of all, I want to give a big thanks to the man, the myth, the legend, the Supercoach Spy, for filling in for me for the weekly wrap last week. So it was a really good listen. I was away in Mackay, so unfortunately I couldn't do it last week. And yeah, did a really good job of filling in. I'm back, and there's plenty of storylines in the NRL this week, both pure NRL and Supercoach. So let's get into it. Okay, going back to Thursday. The triple header on Anzac Day started with the Titans getting the win, their first win of the season over the Warriors in New Zealand. A bit scattered here. The Titans, yeah, they were gutsy, to be fair. And it's sort of been building their last three performances. If you go all the way back to the game where they played the Raiders in the Golden Point loss, I thought they were pretty impressive in that, and a little bit unlucky not to get the win there. It was just a sort of fairly brilliant play there by Strange, the 5'8 for the Raiders, to get them downfield, and then Fogarty nailed the field goal. Then followed that with a 4-point loss to Manly, which was a high scoring affair, but they were both coming off Golden Point games. So, and I thought they performed fairly well there as well. And then now they've beaten the Warriors. So I feel like they've really turned a corner. I think I said that last week, but this tells me that they've well and truly turned a corner. And just the way they're playing, like, it feels like Desi's put a bit of steel and a bit of resilience in them. I'm not saying they're not going to take a couple of steps back. We've seen that with Wes and St. George. You know, when the new regimes come in, it's not always just plain sailing, and they improve and they improve and they improve. But to be fair, the Titans worked their way through a lot of stuff in their first four or five losses of the season or whatever it was. So I feel like they're on the up and up, even though they do have some injury concerns there. I think Mo Fodawaker got injured, which is big for them because he was nearly impossible to put on the ground. He was outstanding for them. Anyway, I don't think the Titans will come last. I felt like they played really well. A lot of teams might have folded to the Warriors in that first period. And, yeah, I mean, it's hard to gauge whether is it the Warriors just not absolutely putting teams away when they have that dominance in possession, attacking the opposition try line, or is it teams holding on really well to wait for it to turn? I'm not certain about that, but I mean, given the way that Warriors go, and you could argue that's the other way around, like the Warriors are just a side that you have to weather the storm initially, you know, or at some stage during the game, and then they'll have a patch where you'll be able to get them, which is a bit worrying for the Warriors. I thought they were disappointing, the Warriors, after starting on fire. Like I said, it's a familiar pattern that's building now. So Coach Webster's got you know, a bit to work on there. I can see what he's doing. Like, he's trying to really make them a Penrith-style team, and they're kicking into the corner and that. I do think that they can have more variation in both their attacking shape, because the Titans were just reading the attacking shape, and basically they were covering the flat player, the ball runner who was running flat, which is normally like a Warriors use middle forward sometimes, but it's normally your edge forward, so they're running off a half, and they were covering that front player. They were checking them, but they were also having a player just run out on the outside and shut down the sweep man. And they did that quite effectively. And a couple of times, Johnson just got caught there, and he was sort of running behind his block player. So they need to throw a few wrinkles in there and make it less predictable, because I think teams, and I've seen this in the last two or three games against the Warriors, they're starting to watch the tape. And, yes, they're trying to be consistent. Yes, they're trying to be a team that their worst is not very far from their best, which is Penrith, but you still do need to have variation in your attacking game. I don't understand why they're putting these box kicks down into the corner. Like, I do understand why they're doing it, but sometimes I don't understand why they're getting there in time to compete for it. And Rocco Berry's pretty good in the air, but they're not competing for it. They're basically just watching, letting the winger catch it, and then falling down. I don't know if it's a statistics thing or a percentages thing, but yeah, it is a bit frustrating, because you see a bloke like Zach Lomax who can do that, and I feel like Rocco Berry has that skill set, and they're getting there a lot of times to do it, but it's clearly a tactic the team's playing, the Warriors, to not do that off their fifth tackle kick. So we'll see how that plays out. Okay, looking at the Supercoach scores, AFB, 116, what a beast. Two tries there. He's, he runs really good lines, and I don't know, just he seems to find that space a lot. He's a really good try-scoring front rower. Sean Johnson, 93. I thought he played reasonably well. He looked frustrated. I mean, I felt like they were coming home all over the top of the Titans, but the Titans were gutsy. They held on strong, but they might look back at that one and watch the tape, and it won't be a pretty watch for the Warriors, but hopefully it's something they can learn from moving forward. Charles Nicol-Klokstad, 90, got the early try, and you knew he was always set up to get a pretty high score. 90's, I think, par after you see that first try with his base. I mean, possibly hoping that he could jag some more attacking stats and get up over the 120 in that, but he looks pretty solid. I don't think he's going to score much under 70. Which you need to do if you're fullback, because they're premium positions. But, yeah, I think he's got those capabilities of going 90, 120, maybe even a 150 if the Warriors can click and attack. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck obviously had that disallowed try, which owners would be upset with, but still registered a respectable 58. I think he's a stronghold. Tamari Martin, a lot of people brought him in a couple of weeks ago on the back of, you know, an outstanding start when he came in for Metcalf. I had quite a game last week, posted a 50 this week, which is more than acceptable at the 5'8 position. DWZ, geez, he was ordinary. Like that defensive read when the Titans were not even in the game. And then I think it was Brian Kelly flicked the ball out the back to Cam Pereira, bang, down there for a try. It was 12-0. They couldn't even get out of their own half, and he came in for no reason, didn't trust his center, who had basically had Brian Kelly. He would have got a tackle around the legs, yeah, sure, but all he had to do was stay out on his player. So there were individual errors that really cost the Warriors. But 47, yeah, that's not too bad for Supercoach. David Fifita, 126. Oh, I looked at him so closely, and then listening to the boys on the podcast and that, I was like, oh, no, you know, Origin's coming up and that. But looking at the actual draw for the Titans now, their next month is really good. So I think I'm going to bring him in. You won't get him any cheaper than this. Like, he's going to go up a little bit this week, but I'm going to bring him in and then obviously see what I do with him over Origin. But I'm just playing for the now at the moment. I'm so far behind. So Brimson, oh, I thought he was outstanding. Every touch, he looked really dangerous. Obviously, two tries for 94. You might say, oh, you know, question mark. I'm tempted at center wing. I'm really tempted to bring him in, because I think he'll post some really good scores. I also the concern for me is he probably has the ability to go really low. He does rely a lot on attack. He doesn't probably have that great base, but that's a lot of center wings. So it's just like, how do you think the Titans are going to go over the next few weeks? And I think they might go right. I know they've got the Storm next week, but I don't think their draw is too bad. So I'm thinking about taking a punt on Brimson, you know, unless something else comes up. Brian Kelly, 75. In real NRL, he was outstanding. Like, Brian Kelly has had his problems, his issues defensively, and he's a different player. Like, but he took some tough carries. And, like, some of the little things that not everyone sees, but he beats players off the ground consistently. And what that does is it allows the Titans to win the ruck. Like, I reckon the worst run in the game is probably that run that you have to take. Say the Warriors kick the ball down into the corner and they get you in that 10-10 box. So it's, you know, 10 metres, it's inside the 10 metres in from touch and inside the 10 metres from their try line. So it's a 10-10 box there. And that's what NRL sides aim for. Anyway, to take that next run after that, when you've got a full defence loaded up, compressed, coming at you, he took about seven of those. And every one I watched him, he'd wriggle and sort of maneuver his body just because he's very strong. He's got a lot of strength, Brian Kelly, but he was able to sort of either get up at the same time as the two markers or beat them off the ground, which is phenomenal because normally you just get dominated in those tackles, and that's what the Warriors do really well. And he did that so well, and that was key to them getting through that period where they were down 12-0. And he also did some great things in attack as well. I'm not bringing him in for Supercoach, though. Jermaine Jolliffe, 63. That was one that Timmy was tossing up a few weeks ago. He ended up going Kerr. He's been pretty good, Jermaine Jolliffe. And Bo Fermor, 59. Okay, on to the second game of the day. And the Roosters absolutely rinsed the Dragons, 60 points to 18. This is the Roosters side I could see that would come together at the back end of the year. This is a bit early for them, but, I mean, a few things went their way. When Moses Suli got knocked out off the kickoff, you're like, oh, that's going to open up a few things. They didn't have a genuine outside back that they could move there. They had to move Eisenhuth there, so that was tough for him. They actually ended up holding up okay on that side of the field, but Kyle Flanagan did some really good scramble defensive work. He's probably one of the better legs defenders in the NRL. I mean, Dylan Brown is pretty hard to go past, but yeah, as a 5'8", he makes a lot of tackles where you're like, oh, you're expecting them to get over the try line, but he just holds them up. He does what's necessary. So, yeah, I mean, the Roosters, they have a lot of pieces and they have a lot of depth. So I think in the game, the Dragons just got out-muscled, and that was the end of it. Like, it was over pretty early. You could see which way it was going. The Roosters are genuine top four in my book, you know, and I think they could put the cleaners through a few sides if they don't turn up against them as well. They're highly motivated. And just with the attacking weapons they have, Dominic Young, Joey Manu, Tedesco. Yeah, just they have a phenomenal list. Sam Walker. Wow. That display had serious Tim Smith vibes. Now, for those that are too young to remember or never heard of Tim Smith, who played for Parramatta, Google him. But I still think he holds the record, actually. In 2005, Tim Smith had possibly the best rookie season I've ever seen in NRL. He had 40 try assists in the halfback position. I've never seen a halfback do what he's done in the first season of NRL. He was an absolute phenom, like incredibly talented player, particularly kicking the footy. I wouldn't say he was like overly brave or anything like that, but he basically did what Sam Walker did to the Dragons, but he would do it on a weekly basis. Probably not to the nth degree, but they were pretty dominant that year in that stretch as well. Parramatta were going pretty good. So, yeah, Timmy, it took me back to Tim Smith, and that's a long time ago now. That's only 20 years, so yeah, Sam Walker just seemed to have it on a string on Thursday. Look, let's have a look at it. 4 try assists, 10 out of 10 goals, 3 forced dropouts, 2 line break assists and a try. Jeez, absolutely phenomenal. I'm not sure if he can replicate that every week, but certainly if you had him, he was coming off a three where he got an injury, so I don't imagine too many serious players would have him, but there might be some people considering bringing him in now. I mean, I'm not sure what the Roosters' run is like coming up, but I wouldn't knock you if you looked at that. It might be a case of chasing points a little bit because he's not going to maybe do that every week, but certainly that was very impressive, Tim Smith. Tim Smith, Sam Walker. Sam Walker, yes, 172 he ended up with. Crazy. I think I've got most of these scores updated. The Saturday scores I might be a little bit sketchy on, but I'll try and get them up on my computer so I get them right for you. Angus Crichton, 119. Yeah, I was a big proponent for bringing him in a few weeks ago. It's one of the few things I've got right this year, to be fair, so I'm going to claim it. But yeah, Angus Crichton's going really well, running hard on that edge. Like, he was destructive. Like, they had so much, they were winning the ruck so much that they just couldn't handle him. He was bumping people off. He was offloading at will. So not surprising to see the 100, well, close to 120 score there. Dom Young, 88. Joey Manu, 87. Tedesco, 81. So all three of those boys, yeah, just were beneficiaries of how much they were winning the ruck, but also they're impressive players. It's funny because at the start, I think it was about round three or round four, I really liked Dom Young, and I'm thinking he's going to be the top try scorer. Obviously, the send-offs throwing a spanner in the works, but I'd put some small investments on him. But the more that I watch the Roosters, I want to go back and have a look at what Joey Manu's sort of paying for top try scorer, because he does go a lot himself first. Like, he'll go all the way as far as he can and then look to pass it at the end. Like, that's an afterthought to him. And I think he'll probably score a lot of tries outright in the centre position. You don't see a centre top try score very often, but Joey Manu would be a massive chance of it this year. Terrell May, 29. I think Timmy's got a question about that a little bit later, so I'll touch on that a bit more, but obviously very disappointing for owners. Zach Lomax, 62. I think you'd take that in the drubbing that they had. He tried really hard. He did some things that didn't work out, but he's definitely a solid hold. Jaden Sewer, 102. He was good. I think he's available for Queensland for Origin, so he might come into calculations there. And Ben Hunt, 29. Okay, onto the Storm, who defeated the Rabbitohs 54 points to 20. The Rabbits, I mean, I think there's a lot of interest basically around when Latrell comes back, but at the moment they're basically just making up the numbers this year, unfortunately, for Rabbitohs owners. And I don't like saying that, but it seems like a bit of a wasted season for mine. How they handle, well, it's almost the inevitable departure of the coach and the shift to a new regime and things like that, and what sort of players get moved on in their rejuvenation of the list is going to be interesting to see, because they've been such a good club that's been up there for so long. But now, I think after missing the eight last year and bombing out at the start of this year, and this year's gone for them, like, they don't even look semi-competitive against a side like the Storm. So I can't see them doing anything this year. I know that sounds fairly unequivocal, but I just don't see them getting themselves out of this hole. I think they almost need a full rebuild, and they need to have a look at, you know, some of these older players and, you know, how they put some younger players around them and rejuvenate their list. So the Storm, yeah, I mean, they just win in so many different ways. It's impressive. I mean, it makes them very versatile. Like, if you look at them compared to a side like the Warriors, and that's sort of what concerns me a little bit about the Warriors, like, they seem to be like, this is our style of play and this is the way we're going to win. And that uncompromising nature, I think, comes from Penrith and the Webster system coming out of the Panther system. But the Storm are also doing it different ways, and I don't know, like, maybe one doesn't hold up in the finals. There might be an argument that you go, oh, well, Storm will get themselves into top four, but they're not going to compete for the title with that sort of setup. But and that's been true the last couple of years, so there's a fair argument there. But at the moment, I mean, it's doing the job of keeping them up the top, but for sure. I mean, Mimi's defense is a massive issue for them. He's been absolutely hosed the last couple of weeks, and like he's been exposed really. Like I think it's I don't like to pick on one player, but I think it is generally Mimi. I don't think you could say that it's the right side. I mean, I don't think Warbrick's overly helping the situation, but it's hard to know where. Like obviously, when you know, it's generally like you're looking at the two outside players, like your center and your wing, or you know, possibly your three players there. But a lot of the stuff that I'm seeing is just tackles that Meany should make that he's missing one on one. And I know that he's converted winger that's playing in the centers, but clearly he's Bellamy's choice there, and I think Bellamy really likes him. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see the way that one plays out. If he will. Bellamy try to coach his way out of this? Do they back themselves to fix up that defence of Meany? Or will he spend a bit of time in Queensland Cup, you know, working on his defence, and they look at another, maybe possibly another option there? They've got a couple of blokes in reserve grade. Okay, having a look at a few of the scores. Cam Money Munster, he's back, 148. Didn't look like he was operating at 70 or 80%, which he said in an interview a couple of weeks ago there. He looked like he was going full tilt. So he can always post these big scores, Munster, but it's just hard to predict when he's going to do it. But well done to owners. My youngest fella had him, and he was up and about until he captained Cleary instead of Hines. And, yeah, he went back into his shell a bit after that one. Harry Grant, 95. Jerome Hughes, 95. Pappenhausen, 92. So that was good for owners. I think a fair few people brought in Pappenhausen for this run, and they wanted to see how he'd go. I mean, it was basically a push. I think I threw up an Instagram post, or I might have wrote in my article as well, and I said, I think it's going to be much of a muchness picking between, I think I said Pappy, who was the other one, Tedesco, Charles Nickel Klokstad, and I threw in Trey Fuller as well. And like as I was writing it, I was thinking, like, why am I not getting Trey Fuller? Because he's the cheapest of all of them, but obviously it was a lot more risky. But Trey Fuller actually probably delivered more Supercoach points than any of them. He's very shifty, Trey Fuller. We'll speak about that a bit later. But Pappenhausen, 92. Have to be happy with that. I mean, Grant, that 95 has been coming for a long time. So that's great for owners who've hung on to him. Elliot Katoa, 78. It's Sean Bloor, 53. That's more than acceptable. He's starting to offload a lot, Sean Bloor. He's very unlucky at the end of the game there. Joe Chan came on and got a pass off a knockback from a kick, like one of those kicks where they go for they try and get the center or the second rower jumping for it. Anyway, it came out and all he had to do was draw the man, and he passes it to Sean Bloor, and Sean Bloor goes over, but he held it, and then they scored the next play. But that happens for the Rabbitohs. Not a lot of Supercoach relevant players. Jacob Gagai, 88. So if you'd held on to him and hoping to make some money, probably done his job. Cody Walker, 66. I thought Cody was impressive. Like, I thought he did really well in a team that, yeah, like at times was struggling. I thought he was a lot better. Cam Murray, 83. Outstanding effort as always. Milne, 63 with that barge over try. Milne's not really relevant, and now he's going to get suspended. I just wanted to touch on that a little bit because, like, I'm generally a person that doesn't make rash calls, particularly on disciplinary things, but I do really feel that I do feel like that's too light for that incident. And the reason is because when he did that to Munster was held up by two players, so he's basically defenseless, and he cannonballed at his knees or lower legs with his head. Like, that is how you... it was deliberate, and it was really, really poor from Tane Milne. And I'm just surprised that it didn't get referred straight to the judiciary to get, you know, 5 or 6 weeks. I understand that Munster came out of it okay, but, like, that is the type of
action. Like, it's not even, you can't even call it a tackle because he sort of like dived at him with no effort to wrap his arms up, but basically head first into his shin or knee. Like, that's the type of tackle that can ruin blokes' careers. You know, in terms of like, he could have done an ACL, he could have done multiple injuries, a broken leg, any type of thing. So from that respect, I don't think I'm overreacting because I have seen some of the reactions on social media as well over the weekend. But yeah, I just thought Tane Milne's like cannonball on Munster was really poor. Okay, on to the first question from Timmy Williams.
G'day, Wals. First one of the night, mate. Terrell May, a bloke I wanted to plug into my team long-term, getting restricted minutes, certainly 3 of the last 4 weeks at the Roosters. Why do you think this is?
Yeah, Timmy, Terrell May's minutes is a real concern for owners. I mean, if we look through the season, he got, in the initial game, he got 54 minutes. I think there was some injuries there over in Vegas. Then he went 57, 52, 55. So obviously that got a lot of owners in. Very happy with his scores as well. You know, generally 1 to 1.4 sort of PPM in all those games. If you have a look at the last three games against Bulldogs, Newcastle, Melbourne, that was leading into this St. George game. He's had 20 minutes, then back to the 50. Then 30 minutes, and now he's had, I think on the weekend he had 29 minutes, I think it was. So, yeah, it's sort of very disappointing. 26 minutes, sorry, I was just checking that one. 26 minutes, yeah, that's really disappointing for owners. Why do I think it is? I mean, I think they've got some really good front row forwards that are playing good footy. JWH is playing good footy in the vintage of his career. Lindsay Collins commands big minutes. So it's tough for the juggle. And that Nafahu White, he's also playing really really good footy as well. And he only got 31 minutes. So they have to fit everyone in. Egan Butcher got 42 minutes. So there's only so many minutes to go around for the Roosters middles. And yeah, but it's becoming an issue for a super coach wise. I can totally understand why you've asked the question. And possibly it's time that we look at moving him on. It's just the fact that his scores are so good when he gets 40 plus minutes. You know, he generally scores 50 plus, and there's not a lot of great front rowers out there. But if you have the money to move him on to someone you feel is more reliable, that might be a Jolliffe, that might be a Kerr, that might be an AFB, depending on how much cash you have, then, yeah, definitely go for it. Okay, having a look at Friday night footy and a 32-18 win to the Seagulls over Parramatta. Yeah, Manly look like they've worked it out. Seabold's got them going really well. And I think that they're set for the top eight. You know, obviously a bit of a hiccup there with DCE and Ola Kawate possibly getting 2 weeks, like they're big outs, so they'll have to manage that. But they do have some depth there. Brad Arthur's son has been 18th, 19th man, so he may come in, and obviously Luke Brooks is experienced with running the side. So they should still be able to get wins without those players, even though they are very dominant players, or, you know, at least be competitive. I think they play Canberra, so you know, that's going to be mainly a forward battle. Canberra look like they're going to struggle for points without the kicking of Jamal Fogarty. I mean, they got kept to a duck egg today. So it'll just come down to attitude, and they play them at home, and they've got points in them, the Seagulls. So they just got to deal with that little bit of adversity. Parra were better than the second half last week, but to be honest, That was sort of an aberration. I don't know if that was going to carry on too much, but the problem with it is that it looked like they actually gave up in the heat of Darwin, and that's when all the questions start getting asked. And that, but their biggest issue is they're missing Mitchell Moses, and he's their marquee half. Individual stupidity sort of probably cost them any chance they had of winning the game. I feel like Manly were the better side, and they probably would have won anyway, but Penasini's 10 in the bin. Probably, I don't know, it's a bit harsh to call that stupidity, but, I mean, there was players around when Tommy Turbo kicked that ball. He's tall. He has to get a bounce go for him. So I don't know, percentages wise, was he going to pick it up and score? I think he miskicked it a little bit as well. So maybe he just keeps chasing him, and I don't know if he even regathers that ball, or if he regathers it, he's definitely not going to go on and score it. It's easy to say in hindsight, there in the thick of it. He made a decision where there was no other option for the referee in the bunker to send him to the bin. Sivo's one was just, yeah, that was just mind-numbing stupidity. I mean, why do it? Like, it was, they were coming into the fifth tackle. They would have got the ball back. And, you know, he jams his elbow into Garrick's head and gets himself 10 in the bin, and basically the game's over from there, because Manly are a good attacking side against 13 players. Give them 12 players and, yeah, they'll find you out. No worries about that. Okay, Supercoach scores. Ruben Garrick hadn't been really looking at him at this stage. Actually, I did have a look at him before this week and realised that he'd lost a little bit of money there, but 145. Oh, is he a trade-in? I guess, you know, like, it's not a bad option given that he's probably going to play fullback when Turbo goes to Origin. So from that point of view, a bit like Mano has been, and I guess it depends on whether New South Wales go with Edwards or Tedesco this year, whether Mano will get that opportunity. But, you know, whenever there's an injury, whenever there's Origin to the fullback, then, you know, Mano and Garrick do get that opportunity, and they tend to step up really well. A DCE 77, Olakau'atu 69. Going to be tough for owners to cover them if they're out for 2 weeks each. It's really hard to win at the Judiciary. It was an ugly looking tackle. Obviously, no intent in it, but you can understand that why they're both up on charges there. A Saab is one that I speculated about bringing in. 59. Geez, I thought he made a few line breaks there, so that looks a little bit low. But I think that's Saab. But he's just going to get attacking stats. One of the reasons why I didn't speculate on him and bring him in is because when he goes low, he can go really low. I think he's got better this year from the limited games that I've seen. I think he's only played 3 or 4 games, but yeah. So I think he's got a bit more robust in his running and that type of thing out of yardage sets, but generally, you're relying on a lot of attack with Saab, so it's risky. Brooks, 40. Probably disappointing for owners to still have him. If you still have him, I think there's better options there. Turbo, 55. Yeah, I was disappointed. I captained him. I thought he'd put on a bit of a clinic there. He seems to be playing within himself a little bit. I've seen him do this in the past. I'm not sure if he's carrying an injury or not, but yeah, also nighttime games. He generally in the past tends to spark up for day games as well. They do have, I see the argument, I've read a lot and heard a lot of Supercoach analysts talking about the fact that they have different points of attack now, and they do. Like, I mean, one of the big points of attack is obviously Cherry Evans, and he likes to get the ball to Olakau'atu, and they play off the back of that. And then Brooks probably doesn't distribute as much. He's a runner as well, so that might be inhibiting how much ball that Turbo's getting. So, yeah, a few head scratches there of whether to keep him or move him on. I mean, he's going to play Origin as well, so tough one. Gutho, 95, seems to be playing with an injury, but he's still pumping out pretty decent scores. Sivo, 83. Yeah, I don't think you're suspended for that, surprisingly, but he might find himself back in reserve grade. Dylan Brown, 64. He's been solid. Sean Lane, 27. I didn't catch the game because it was at junior footy, but I did get a message from Desi and Spy saying that he went off early in the game, so he possibly had an injury affected score there. I'm looking at moving him on to Dave Fifita. He hasn't sort of done what I wanted him to do, Sean Lane. I thought he'd be a little bit better, but that's coincided with Parramatta's form. I can't see them coming back to any sort of good form until they get Mitchell Moses back, and I don't think he'll hurt me too much if I get rid of him, so I think I'll move him on now before he loses too much money. Okay, on to Saturday, and the Broncos once again stamp their premiership credentials with a flogging of West Tigers. 34 points to 10. That probably wasn't a reflection of how dominant the Broncos were. I think it was 34-0 there for a while. I think, yeah. So, yeah, Broncos, they're going to be thereabouts again. The biggest question mark for them is, can they keep their aging halfback, Adam Reynolds, on the field at the right time, like when they come down, get down to the crunch games? That's what I'll be focusing on, just managing him through the season and winning enough games that you're going to get yourself into the top four. And just getting him into finals time where he's ready and raring to go. West Tigers, well, they're a little bit like St. George. I mean, they take one step forward, two or three steps back. I think Benji's setting things up, keeping what pieces he needs to, like having a look at things and then seeing what players he needs. He's going to keep them, what players he needs to add, and then let go of, you know, moving on players that don't work for him. There's going to be some cap issues there if what's reported, what they're reportedly paying players is true. But, like, Taruva's obviously a really good addition, and he's one of those players a little bit like Garrick and Manu that, yeah, he might play an outside back position. So he'll go there and he'll play centre. He'll probably play the opposite side to Ollam, centre. So I think that's right centre for West Tigers, or he can play on the wing. But if there's any injury to Buller, who's their long-term franchise player, but fullback, or if he plays rep footy down the track, then, you know, he's just straight in there, and he's a quality player in the fullback position. He's shown that in the past. So I think that's a great buy, and they probably got him at a reasonable price. If they got him somewhere between 500 and 600 for a player like that, I think that's pretty good. So they are starting to add pieces like that, but then you've got, like, the Jaden Sullivan situation where reportedly he's on, I don't know, like a 3-year deal for $1.5 million or possibly even more, which is insane money for what he'd done in the game. So there's some good managers out there, as we've seen with Schuster. But I'm not looking to cast aspersions on Jaden Sullivan, because he's got some real talent. But I don't see where he fits in when they've got the young halfback Finu, who looks a real player. They've got Galvin, who they could manufacture into possibly like an edge back rower or a centre. He's pretty big and rangy, but at this stage he looks like a running 5'8". And then they've also got Jerome Luai coming next year. So it's a good place for them to be in, but I think Benji's just working out what type of style they're going to play. And in that process, it's going to include a few floggins. Okay, let's have a look at a few of the scores. Not too many overly relevant players in this game. Bateman, 58. It interests me when I saw, obviously, Bateman go to lock. I mean, I was excited because I've had Samuela Finu from the start of the season. Considered trading him out when he got injured, but stuck with him. So I still have him there. And I think I'm going to hang on to him. I feel like he's going to be one of the cheapies of the year alongside Kale Iro. And, like, there's been some other ones that have reared their head that have gone really well as well. But I think once they start getting into their groove, he could really post some good scores out there in the back row, Samuel Afino. But obviously with the sin bin, only a 27, what was exciting for owners and all those people that brought him in, you might think that this is probably a little bit disappointing, but the fact that he played the full 70 minutes outside the 10 minutes that he was sin bin, that's exciting, because I think if he plays 80 minutes on the edge for West Tigers most weeks without the sin bins, he's going to average around 50 to 60, which is well above his price point. Appy, 36, picked up a bit of a back injury, which is a little bit of a worry, obviously, going into Origin. I mean, I will say this about Appy, like, he's gutsy, he's a brilliant player, like, particularly, like, his little nuances down near the line, and, you know, nearly jagged himself a try there. That was a bit rough with the fact that it came away from his hand and he didn't re-grip it, and that was tough for owners as well, because it cost him a line break in the try, which is a number of points, puts him probably up around 60-65. But he does have some tackle technique I don't know if it's a deficiency or it's just something that comes out because he's so – sometimes he's so desperate and he puts his body in positions that a lot of people wouldn't. And, like, he'll put his head in front of players as well. He doesn't get knocked out much, but he does miss a few tackles. And when I'm thinking about Origin, I reckon that's going to be a serious consideration for Michael Maguire, is how you play Appy. Yes, he's brilliant in attack and – for West Tigers and what they're doing, he's brilliant, but does he fit into what New South Wales want to do? Like, I'm a Queenslander, so it doesn't really matter what I think, but, like, what I've seen from Penrith Panthers and this bloke over the last couple of years, I think Mitch Kenny has to be a starting hooker for New South Wales. Like, he's made for Origin. Like, his first contact is unbelievable. Yeah, he's not going to offer you much in attack. He's just going to be a distributor. But to get you through the first 20 to 25 minutes of Origin, I reckon he'll be enormous. His line speed is just off the chain. And, yeah, just like I said, like his first contact for a hooker, I've never seen a hooker with that type of first contact. Like maybe a Dean Young when he played hooker, sometimes he was sort of like a hooker lock, but he would hit underneath the ball a little bit more, whereas Mitch Kenny is very good at ball and all tackles, sort of catch and then wait for other players to come in and then dominate the tackle. He's very strong and impressive. He's not an overly big man too. I think he's around 90 to 95 kilos, but he's a tough human being. So that's what I'd be looking for if I was New South Wales. People probably think I'm mad, but yeah. Galvin 42. Now these, I'm not sure if these are updated because I think I had a look at it before and he might have been up 45 or 46, which is more than acceptable for him in a game like that. Payne Haas 78, nice try and return there. Reece Walsh is just brilliant, 74. Box office, you know, there's always something going on with him. He's spewing, he's getting cramps, he's scoring tries, doing, you know, signals and all this sort of stuff. Love watching him play. He's really good. But, yeah, he's a bit like I said with Brimson. He needs a lot of attack to get points. I mean, I looked at his score and went, geez, I thought he would be on more than that, given what he did. He may have updated, actually. So I'll just see if I can get in here and have a quick look to see what he came through as. So, yeah, 74. So Brennan Piakura only got 55 after updates, but he looked a lot better than that in NRL, so he looked really sharp. I don't know if that's gonna necessarily translate to Supercoach, but yeah, Brennan Piakura is definitely a watch.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Okay, on to the second question here from Timmy Williams.
Next one, mate. A lot of NRL Supercoach guns bottoming out in price this week. Who do you think the priority buys are? We've got Jermaine Asako, Ruben Garrick, Gag High now at the Knights, goal kicking as well with Ponga out, Britton Nicara, some very cheap guys.
Yeah, definitely, Timmy. There is a lot of guns bottoming out this week. I mean, I like the look of most of those players that you talked about, but I think in particular, I think David Fifita. I know that Desi Hasler is still bringing him off the bench, but geez, he was outstanding, you know, against a pretty good defensive side in the Warriors. But he's looking hungry. He's got his base up as well. So, like, even if he doesn't about Poso's attacking stats, which I think he will most games. He has his base up there as well, so he's not going to let you down with a really low score. But so I would say David Fifita is the number one target for me. Garrick, I need to really consider, but yeah, coming into Origin, he's going to be very interesting. Gagai, like you mentioned, he gets the goal kicking. I'd probably say he's a fair step down from those ones, just because he's not that good a goal kicker anyway. So, and he's going to rely on the ball getting shifted to him a fair bit. He's not going to play against Tessie New every week either. So, Nakora got a try today. I haven't really checked his score. I was just going to do that on the run, but. Now, Nakora's been a good player for a long time. 89, yeah, so that's a pretty good score. Cronulla are absolutely humming at the moment, so I couldn't knock any of them, but my number one target would definitely be David Fifita. Okay, on to the second game on Saturday night, the Panthers, 26 points to 20 winners over the Cowboys. The spirit of effort from the Cowboys. The Panthers were clearly tiring up there in North Queensland, particularly like late in the game. That's, to be honest, I think that's the best I've seen the Cowboys play all year. They've had some wins, but they actually look like a team that could be a top eight team the way they played against Penrith, particularly in that second half to come back from that deficit. So for the Panthers, I don't think they'll read too much into it. They just clock up another win in a tough place to go and play. The Panthers were also without Leota, Sorensen, Taruva, so they're big outs. And Cleary had the worst game I've seen him play. I think he let in three tries in defence from just straight misses from Cleary. So you won't see that too often. Obviously came back fairly rusty. Brian Toto, 101. Now, I'll just double-check that this hasn't been updated because this was a phenomenal performance from Toto. He's been downdated to 98. So, but the tackle breaks, unbelievable. Something like 17 tackle breaks. They just could not hold on to him. So he might be one to watch. I mean, he's probably going to play Origin. I wouldn't say untouchable because they obviously got a hand on him, but he was definitely untackleable. So Dylan Edwards, 90. He's been good so far this year. Updated to 95. If you've got him, I mean, like he's top level price now. He's pretty hard to get, but he's punching out like marquee scores every week. If you've had him from the start, then you know, well done to you. Cleary 51, a bit disappointing for owners. I mean, he had a really poor game, particularly defensively. Attack wise, he was all right, but the second half was all Cowboys. Liam Henry. Registered, let's have a look. He might have got downdated here. 29. I had him down for 42, so he got downdated a lot. So that's not great for owners. And Taylan May, who's become a bit of a thorn in the side of a few teams, had registered a 39. So not the worst, but it's probably time for Taylan May to go. I mean, he's been given enough chances by owners. And I feel like it's just now time to move him on. For the Cowboys, Nanai looks like he's coming into some form at the right end of the year, coming into Origin, 104. Finifuiaki, 86, after just signing a three-year contract with the Dolphins. Val Holmes just always delivers, marquee player to have in your center wing. He's not letting you down, 76 points. Cotter, 65, it's great for owners. Dearden, 60. Tamalolo, probably his best game of NRL for a long time that I've seen, 60 points. Came off the bench, so that could be a sign of things to come. And Scotty Drinkwater, in a game that was a tough matchup, I think he'd take 39 because he's coming into some really good matchups and he looks electric again. They try and find him on the line. His defense was a lot better than it has been in the past. They normally find him on the line and get players through, but I think that's what I was most impressed with, the Cowboys' resilience in defense, particularly in the middle and their scramble. So they've made some progress on that one. Okay, we'll go to the third and last question from Timmy Williams.
5'8", been a tough position this year. Dylan Brown not exactly hitting the ground running, but ticking along okay. What do you see as the ideal 5'8 combination moving forward with Lachie Gowan peaking in price very soon?
Thanks, Timmy. I'm going to make a quite unsensational claim here, but I think the best 5-8 combination moving forward is Cameron Munster and Dylan Brown, who have been close to the best for the last few years. So that's nothing new to people, but I think when you can get to them, it's going to be a different story, and there's Origin in there as well. The good thing about Dylan Brown is he is a Kiwi, so he doesn't play Origin. I'm not sure of the actual buy rounds and things like that. You'll have to get around Supercoach Buy because he's all over that sort of stuff. But yeah, have a look at the draws. Have a look there. I mean, you can keep Galvin for a period of time. He's solid. They're going to play some games where he'll punch out 60s and 70s, I think. And his base looks like around that 40, 45. So, yeah, but Dylan Brown and Cameron Munster. Okay, we're going to have a look at the two games today on the run. So, good game, the first game. The Knights, 18 points to 14 winners over the Dolphins. I thought the Knights showed some real heart there. I mean, I think people got a little bit carried away with the Dolphins, like, you know, how good they went in the second half there, because Parramatta really did stop to a walk in that game in Darwin, and they basically gave up. You don't see that very much in NRL games. And the Knights, I mean, I didn't watch the Bulldogs versus Knights game, so that probably helped me because I did tip the Knights in this one, but I believe that they were pretty bad in that game, but it might have had something to do with losing Ponga during it, and they've got their back up a little bit, so they're playing for a little bit there. But they're a solid side. Their completion rate was outstanding, and I think they'll be motivated to do really well. Armstrong, the fullback, actually looked pretty good. He's sharp, he's light, but he played well in his first game. So let's have a look at a few of the Supercoach scores. Jermaine Asako, Timmy mentioned him in his last question as a sort of, I wouldn't say fallen gun, but one that's sort of starting to hit their bottom, someone you could grab, 109 points. Trey Fuller, 99. He's just very slippery, and he's playing great footy. I'm not sure. I'd have to look into when the Hammer is due back, but he's going to be a great money earner if you can take the risk of dropping a fullback. And I actually don't think it's that much risk. I'd have to look at their matchups. Let's have a quick look here at who they're matching up against. So they play Newcastle. So they go up and play North Queensland Cowboys up in Townsville. And then they play Manly, which could be without Olakau'atu and Daly Chevans. Then they play West, and then they play New Zealand. So it's not that bad a draw, to be fair. Then Canberra. Like I said, I'm going to have a close look at when Hammer's due back. And, yeah, Trey Fuller could be coming in for me. It might just be a must, even though money probably doesn't help me get out of the position that I'm in. But it might help me at the end of the year to just have a far superior side to everyone else if he can stay there for the next 3 or 4 weeks and make, you know, $300,000 or something like that. That'd be awesome. Avarillo, 88. Aiken, 80. Max Plath, for people who brought him in, 73. Tackled the house down. And Jeremy Marshall King, 68. So some pretty good scores there. Josh Kerr for owners, 58. So, yeah, some good scores there by the Dolphins. On the Knights side of things, Gagai, 88 points. Another one that Timmy mentioned there that you might want to bring in, who's basically bottom out and is going to climb back up the table. Gamble, 76. Dylan Lucas, 74. He's been really impressive, Dylan Lucas. I'm not sure what they're going to do there. Obviously, I think he'll just have to go back to the bench when Tyson Frizzell comes back, or they might bring Frizzell off the bench. David Armstrong, available as a center wing and a fullback, 68 on debut with the try. And Jaden Brayley, 56. He's looking better and better each week. Kai Pierce-Paul, 44 for owners. Okay, look at the last game. This wasn't much of a competitive game at all, but the Sharks are really impressing me with some of the stuff. And they've always been sort of flat-track bullies, but it's more impressive the way they're doing it this year. They're winning a lot of games well, and they're doing a lot of things right as well. So I think they're starting to form in my mind. I wasn't sure of them as possible genuine contenders. I'm just going to say possible at this stage. I'm not 100% sure. But, yeah, Canberra were disappointing at home. You don't see them play like that too often. But That's sort of two games in a row where Sharks have put the cleaners from. I mean, they led the first game versus the Sharks about a month ago, 18-0, and then the Sharks just came back and absolutely hosed them, and then now they've rinsed them 40-0 at home. So, yeah, I think they're going to struggle a little bit for attack without Fogarty just because they won't have the field position with the kicking game, and he directs a lot of things. They look lost out there a bit. I mean, because neither of those players, Strange or KO Weeks, are natural halves, like directing halves. They're more running halves. So that's going to be an issue for them moving forward. But the Sharks, yeah, they're flying. Okay, Raiders didn't have too much to write home about. Smithy's 45, which is pretty standard for him. Danny Levi, 39, bombed a try. If you've still got him, I think it's time to move him on. Xavier Savage, 37. Simi Sasangi, some people might have brought him in for a bit of a cash grab. He's going to make some cash based on that 35. I don't know how much longer he'll keep his right second row position, though, because he got found out a little bit in defense. Schiller, 34. He's peaked in price now, so you probably should have moved him on, or you should be looking to move him on next week. And Ethan Strange, I would say after that performance, he's a sell as well. I don't think there's any reason for you to be keeping him. He will lose a little bit of money, but we've made plenty of money on him, so he's a solid sell. And from the Sharks, I mean, well done to those people who captained Nicho Hynes, 157, second big score in a row. But, yeah, it was just a feast there for some of the outside backs. Ramian, 111. Katoa, 103. Britton Nicora, this is his first decent score this year, I think, 89. Hazelton just keeps scoring for fun, 79. McInnes is pumping out these pretty solid scores, 77. I mean, there's no Dalfanukin coming back to take minutes off him. And, I mean, that does include a try, but he's been getting some decent scores throughout the year. He's a solid option at 2RF. You're probably going to have to pay up for him. Blake Brayley, 74. Everyone cashed in by the looks of it, which is not surprising. 40-0 win, and Kale Iroh, 64. Wilton, 57. Mulatalo, that's a down game for him, 48. So, yeah, a lot of Sharks are going really well there, and be interesting to see how they continue on. Okay, thanks for listening tonight, and we will catch you next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.